This is the death mask of John Keats. So you can make out here the angles of his face. It's hard to believe this is an object which touched him just in the minutes after his death. They obviously would be absolutely sure he was dead before they did this, because otherwise it would suffocate him. You see the protruding nose. But his death was not unexpected, though he died at the age of only 25, because it was the 23rd of February, 1821, and it was drawing on towards midnight when he finally died of tuberculosis. There were also casts made of his hand and foot in the hours after his death. It's thought that maybe Gherardi did it. So his friend Joseph Seven was here. Because Joseph Seven was a doctor who travelled with him. And here is this little pyramid, not a Roman pyramid, but here at the non-Catholic cemetery where he was buried just a few days later. Goodness. So this is the room that that John Keats died in. So John Keats died at the age of only 25. And though he was virtually unknown at the time of his death, he's now one of the most celebrated poets in any language. Here we are at the foot of the Spanish Steps, or the Italian name for it. I mean, the little staircase of the Trinity of the Mountains, you know, Scalinata della Trinità dei Monti. And bear in mind, this is January, late January. Look how busy it is. You wouldn't want to think how busy it'd be in August. So this is the very room where he died. So these walls, you know, these are foundations. Some of this will be original, like the mantelpiece. Much of it is not. The furniture is all burnt because he died from tuberculosis, lest anybody else catch it. Now, yes, that tuberculosis is contagious, but only if you've got a weakened immune system will you catch it. Was he malnourished? Was he living in damp or dirty conditions? Was he overworked? Was he exhausted? That's why he caught it a couple of years earlier. So he was an apothecary, what we'd now call a pharmacist. And he could upgrade his qualifications to be a doctor because he was perennially short of money. He was middle class, but the lower end of middle class. He wanted to marry Fanny Braun, but he didn't have very much money, so her family opposed the match. In those days, there were no decently paid jobs for women. It's the only way she'd have a decent standard of living is if her husband, if he had a good salary. But he realised he didn't have time to excel at poetry and qualify as a doctor. He had to opt for one. He surely made the right choice. He actually wouldn't have had time to qualify as a doctor in the remaining 2 years of his life. And one of his brothers had died at the age of 19, who was slightly younger than him. So he was very aware of the brevity of life, especially his father died when Keats was a baby. His mother died when Keats was a teenager, and so on. So he suffered an awful lot very early on in life. You see, and look at this one by Giuseppe Giorametti, this plaster, sort of a cameo in profile of him. And you see that on his gravestone, that image. So his overlarge schnoz. So yeah, he's buried just 3 days after his death. So Joseph Seven, his doctor friend, was there, as was Dr. Clark, some Britishers there, goodness. So they plucked the daisies from his grave and carried them with them. And he'd written his own epitaph, and saying, you know, about how he was there in the bitterness of his heart. Here lies one whose name is writ in water. Perhaps he thought he would be so ephemeral, but elsewhere he'd wrote that he thought he'd be remembered amongst the English poets after his death. It seemed a very bold and unrealistic claim, but in fact it was true. This passed through various private hands. He was only a lodger here. An Italian woman owned it. And then it was only bought by the Keats Shelley Association in 1906, known as Keats Shelley House, even though Shelley never stayed here. So Keats had set out to Italy in September 1820, knowing that the milder climate would prolong his life. He hoped by several months, if he was lucky, by several years, but it wasn't to be. Sailed to Naples, and then he'd had to travel overland to Rome. His health had briefly recovered, then it relapsed, spent the last few weeks of his life in bed. And he'd had some laudanum around his neck, a vial of it. And on the voyage to the Mediterranean, he was so ill in such terrible pain, he was tempted to take all of it and just end his life there. But Joseph Seven took it off him. The laudanum was not because he was an addict, but it was only, the only way to staunch the pain. He died of that. Been coughing up blood for over a year before he died. So, he knew he wouldn't survive another winter there. So, and then you can see some things in Keats's own handwriting. There he is writing to his friend, my dear Seven, as in Joseph Seven. okay, saying he can't come to lunch because he's getting ill, and so on. Goodness. So he was also coming to Italy because his friend Percy Bysshe Shelley was here, but he was in the north, in Livorno, near Florence. But actually, so hoping to join him, he never got that far north. Shelley knew that Keats was in Italy, perhaps didn't know quite how ill he was. Obviously, there was only post, and Italy wasn't even a united country back then. There were no railways or very, very slow communication by post to chaise, if you were lucky. And look at this life mask, okay, as in done when he was alive. So it's astonishingly the contours of his face. Somewhat prominent cheekbones, are they slightly sunken cheeks? He's not too thin, though. And a very notable bridge of his nose. Perhaps ordinary lips, is that a strong chin? He was quite a short chap, felt a bit self-conscious about that. So he never wed that Fanny Braun. I don't know if she went on to marry somebody else. So he lived at Enfield, his father being an ostler, fairly successful. He had two younger brothers, George and Tom. He'd also had a sister, and that was it. He'd actually inherited a bit of money, but the solicitor hadn't told them, somehow hung on to it. And he was always facing financial difficulties. So this is one of the best known images of them. Okay, from his doctor friend Joseph Seven painted that about 2 years before Keats died. And more things in his own handwriting. Perhaps you can find out about his personality from that. Okay. And then you see all these books, well, not just about Shelley and others. Oh, right, Memories of 60 Years, Eton, Cambridge and Elsewhere. But some of them about the Romantics, their circle. From Lord Byron, George Gordon, Lord Byron, who was in Italy some of the time. But, I mean, Shelley only found out about Keats's death after and the funeral. It took about a month to find out, and then he came down and he mourned at Keats's grave, and they had that grave erected there, that gravestone. And this is an image of Shelley, not one of the best known. From the other images, seems to be fairly lifelike. Okay. And there's that French church up there, Trinity of the Mountains, complete with the Italian obelisk in front of it. Ah, Lord Byron. It's rather different than most of them, a broader nose, for example. Well, for years and years I wanted to go here. When I came here one time, I couldn't see it. Okay, so a lot of these are relics of Shelley and Keats, things actually handwritten by them. In some cases, their hands have touched this as though I could commune with them beyond the grave, as in form of some mysterious connection. These people once as alive as I am alive now, and had all the same physical sensations and all the same emotions. Oh, Leigh Hunt, a less well-known writer at the time, born in the United Kingdom to American parents, who'd fled the revolution. Okay, not to mix up with Orator Hunt, the radical politician. So Leigh Hunt went to Christ Hospital School, couldn't go on to university because that required being some oral exams, wasn't very good at public speaking. And his son later became editor of the Daily Telegraph, supported the Liberal Party. I know it's a very conservative publication these days. Okay, Shelley and his wife, Mary, his second wife. And although Shelley completely rejected religion and Keats was agnostic, you see here reliquaries in the shape of a shell. Keeping Hair, this is of John Milton and Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She's a 17th century poet, she's a 19th century poet who spent her adult life in Italy. Okay, dried flowers from Shelley's grave, as in PBS, Percy Bysshe Shelley. But wait a second, but he didn't die until 1822. Oh, he's got his hair, and then the flowers are from after his death, after 1822. And look, Hair. From Keats, Shelley, and Leigh Hunt, and you see how fair Keats's hair was. Presumably it doesn't lose its colour. Wish they could do some DNA testing, find out is it genuine. And a mask that Byron used to wear to these mask parties, looking like a rather hideous old man. I mean, he died about the age of 35. The That all seems quite young to us. Of course, lifespan was much, much shorter. Life expectancy about 50 back then. That's partly because of very high infant mortality. And one of Shelley's sons died here. So he had at least four children, possibly more. There was a daughter he adopted. It's unclear if he actually was the natural father of this child or not. Okay, that's enough for the moment. But if stones could speak, you know, is any of this flooring original? Am I touching the stones that he touched? Certainly the foundation's original. But it's a gorgeous, marvellous house, quite apart from that. A real marvel of early 18th century architecture. It was almost a century old when they moved into it. And he only lived here for about 3 months.